Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a spiritual journey. Where is yours starting, ending? Where are you traveling to? What are you trying to get away from? This is just beginning with, oh my gosh, my work and my world is not working out anymore. I have to step away, maybe to the spa, or maybe I have to go to the hairdresser. Perhaps maybe I just need to get a divorce or find another job. All of these trials and we say tribulations that we have in our life, are they meant to set us on the highway and then we get off and exit? Perhaps it's be able to skip off and say, no more, I have to find a different way. What we're talking about today is walking the Camino of St. Francis. And the book is Giovanni and the Camino of St. Francis by James Twyman. And James will be sharing us a wonderful story of the spiritual path to the soul. What is it about? For everyone, I can guarantee you, it may take on different shades, colors, ruts in the road, or you may say, that's not how mine's working out. Well, it's truly not about having followers, but it is about being able to inspire you to enlighten something in self, to be able to say, I don't know what it's about, but it set me on my own journey. James, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure of mine as well.
Oh, you're so welcome. James, don't you think that many times people are saying, I need to be a follower. Tell me how. I want to get there, right?
Yeah. And we all seem to be on a journey, don't we? Sometimes it's a journey of miles. Sometimes it's not a journey of distance at all. And I think ultimately the journey helps us to realize that we've always been right where we've been. And you know, I often say that the real journey is not of miles at all, but of only a few inches, maybe about 10 or 12. And that's a journey from our mind into our heart. And if we can get to that place, then I think we find a fulfillment that no place is ever going to bring to us, but there's a deeper longing that's satisfied. And I think that's the journey that's really described in that book, Giovanni and the Camino of St. Francis.
So when we truly talk about the path to bring us to our heart, what is it truly all about? Many times people will say it's my physical heart, emotional heart, spiritual heart, and they kind of want to have this answer. Don't you think that sometimes it's even something deeper than that? It's that which the energy or source energy or soul that we're trying to fill within the heart?
Well, I think you put your finger right on the button when you said the word source. We're longing to return to the source of love itself, which is what we are. We use the word heart. Obviously, we don't mean the physical heart, though sometimes right. That energy seems to be in that area. But for me, that longing to be one with the source of my own being and the being of all sounds very spiritual and very metaphysical. But it's a longing that we all share. It's something that we all feel. We all have this sense of longing for something that is beyond our perception, beyond our understanding. And in the book Giovanni, I think that's what begins the journey for Anna, is she knows that there's something that she's missing, has been missing her whole life, and she knows that maybe the way to find it is to do this long walk through Italy, following in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi, just like people for thousands of years have walked Caminos. Whether it be the Camino de Santiago in Spain or many other places around the world, sometimes just walking can take us into that source and into our heart.
Sometimes I think even the idea, when people say they're walking around a mandala outside or they have flowers or they're walking around in the park and it kind of brings them to themselves, a lot of times it's truly about being able to refocus thought, to be able to let go of some things that just are not important anymore. And when we're trying to find source, are we not trying to put back the puzzle pieces that we believe might be missing? But really those puzzle pieces have such a deeper meaning. Like when they say going back to where you lived before or going back, you may have made a mistake and you want to go back to the bifurcation, I call it, in the road. Where did we go wrong? What did we do? Why did we not take it? Why did we take it? Is it always the human questioning that we always do when we are thinking that it's outside of us? When in essence, right where we are today was the right path, it's just it may not have presented as which you believed. So sometimes your beliefs is really what the challenge is all about.
Well, I know for sure that we can't go back. We all want to. We try to. Maybe we think we can go back and solve something or fix something that we did or didn't do. I came across a beautiful quote from Cahil Gibran that I think describes this beautifully. And if you don't mind, I'll just read it really quick. It's very short.
Sure.
It said, "It is said that before entering the sea, a river trembles with fear. She looks back at the path she has traveled, from the peaks of the mountains, the long winding road, crossing forests and villages. And in front of her, she sees an ocean so vast that to enter there seems nothing more than to disappear forever. But there's no other way. The river cannot go back. Nobody can go back. To go back is impossible. The river needs to take the risk of entering the ocean, because only then will fear disappear, because that's where the river will know that it's not about disappearing into the ocean, but about becoming the ocean."
Right.
And I just read that and I thought, well, that describes it so perfectly. But there's that fear that we sense, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose who I am. I'm going to lose myself. But you lose nothing when you enter into everything. And I think, you know, Gibran had that. And I think that is the journey. We're all walking a Camino. A Camino is just the path of our life. And sometimes we walk a physical Camino in another country, or sometimes we just walk day by day into our lives. And we always, in the end, are coming to that moment where we disappear into the ocean.
You know, I think also, too, it's also about the fear of identity, of losing it, is that it's almost as if we have claim on it. You know, we are who we are, and we go through life to construct how we should be appearing and all of these conquests we have so we can leave a legacy. When in essence, when you're walking a Camino, none of that matters. It doesn't matter who you are and what you did behind you. It was about what you're now experiencing, what's now coming to your forefront, how you can find that you're really taking on the challenges of the day-to-day moment, and what your subconscious or your unconscious brings up, or how your soul and your spirit start to speak. It's not about, my gosh, I have to go pick up the kids. All of that other stuff goes away. Don't you think that's really when you're able to source more of these answers?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've led a lot of people on Camino walks in Spain, and quite a number of them in Italy. It's one of my favorite things to do. And one of the things about walking the Camino is that it's supposed to be challenging. It's not meant to be just an easy walk in the park, as much as we think that that's what we would like it to be. But, you know, you mentioned identity and the claim that we seem to have an identity, or even the fear of losing our identity. Mm-hmm. And really, all spiritual practice is about losing the identity.
Yeah.
And as Gibran said, merging with that ocean, becoming the ocean. But it's so fearful for us. But the beautiful thing is when we have those moments of transcendence, we realize we've lost nothing. There's nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And if we walk a Camino, it's those challenging moments that bring us to the deeper places where we begin to recognize who we are and who we've always been. And for me, walking the paths of St. Francis through Italy, and this started about 7 years ago, dreaming of this story of Anna and the Camino of St. Francis. And I had actually at that point written 15 books and had said, I'm not going to write any more. Because, if you're successful, publishers want you to just keep on writing books, whether you have something to say or not. And I said, I'm not going to write anything more unless I have to. And then this story finally just took hold of me, because Anna had to go through that pain that we're talking about. She had to lose that identity. And she's walking with this beautiful spiritual Italian guy named Giovanni and goes through everything that we go through every day in our own spiritual journey.
Yeah, I think that sometimes when we can say, we always come down to the basic core things like self-value, self-worth, survival, what is just enough, and how we can give even if we feel we have little. And all of these are basic core, it used to be called religious kinds of beliefs, many decades ago. Now we're calling them spiritual or soul kind of aspects of self. And I think when you do these walks, those things really do start to show up, because you may think you're, quote, prepared and you have all your little ducks in the row, but all of a sudden something will shake you and it will just show up differently, yes?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love being unprepared, personally.
<Yeah. laughs>
That's where the juice is for me. I'm actually in the middle of a retreat that I'm leading. I just took a break to do this interview. And even when I lead a retreat, I don't really know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a definite plan of what we're going to do. I let it show me.
Right.
And next year, I'm going to be doing something very similar, walking and getting rides across the country penniless with no money, no way of knowing where we're going, how we're going to get from place to place, where we're going to sleep, where we're going to eat, as I do this one-man musical about the life of St. Francis on the way to Broadway. And I just love that idea of not knowing. That's where the real spiritual richness is. I know that I need to be at a certain place on a certain date, but how I'm going to get there and where I'm going to stay, I don't know.
Right.
No, I don't know if anyone's ever done that in a modern sort of way. But my goal with this particular Camino, because this is just a different kind, is to live it as close to how Francis would have lived it 800 years ago, and to be in complete surrender and complete trust.
I think also the idea of how can we see the world through different eyes? Because just as you might be going across the country or going on the Camino, or anybody many eons ago, how even these saints have done it, it truly is about what is going on at that time and how you're able to work through it. In other words, we always look back in retrospect and we kind of romanticize things, or we say, oh, that was so hard, or that was so easy, or that was so wonderful or great. But really what you're doing is bringing the lessons forward versus saying this is all of this basic stuff and it all has to line up, yes?
Yeah, and the truth is we never really know, do we? Even when we think we have a plan, we're still chasing it down the street, because it never goes the way we think it's going to go. So my way of being is just like, okay, well, let's just see where it wants to take us. And we can do that in so many different ways in our lives. And it really just comes down to trust. How willing are we to trust that movement of grace that is all around us all the time? And we do have certain saints and teachers and mystics who have shown us how they lived that path. For me, one of those people is St. Francis, and that's why I wrote the book and I'm doing this musical, because I've always just had a very deep love of Francis. When I was young, I became a Franciscan, and have now come back to that many, many years later. But I never thought that I would be doing what we're about to do, which is to travel across the country as St. Francis, doing this musical, and do it in a way that he would do it. In fact, one of the really beautiful things, when we're in New York, we're going to be doing something that no Broadway show has ever done, which is during the day, we're going to be spending our time on the streets passing out free tickets to the homeless and inviting them to come to the musical as our guests for the 2 weeks that we're in New York. So, this is a very unique kind of Camino we're going to be on, and we're just going to be opening it up as wide as we possibly can to hopefully invite as many people in as we possibly can.
Yeah, I think it's about being able to share the message, to be able to hold things and be able to say, I would love to experience that with me. In other words, when you're on the Camino story, and as you will be doing with the show, it's about engaging and almost emanating that which you would like to share versus saying, this is how we do it and we need followers. Don't you think when you can emanate it, it seems to
Absolutely.
Have so much more
yeah.
power?
Yes, and imitate as well. In fact, one of the things that I'll be doing from January 4th, when I start this tour in Portland, and then go down to Santa Barbara and then straight across the country, my goal is to actually enter into Francis himself, much as a method actor might enter into the character that he or she is playing during the shooting of a film. And like you take someone like Daniel Day-Lewis, when he played Lincoln in Spielberg's film, for that whole 8 or 9 months, he was Abraham Lincoln. Every night his wife slept with Abraham Lincoln. And in fact, I heard that when they finally finished shooting, it took him 3 days to get his Irish accent back. That's how deep he went. So my goal on this tour is to become Francis, not going around telling people I'm Francis, obviously, but just to live from that place as consistently as I can during that whole 2 month period, almost as an experiment to see who ends up at the end in New York. Who is it? Is there still some James left? Is it more Francis? I don't know. I mean, this is going to be a really fascinating experiment we're doing, but it excites me. I'm very excited about the possibilities and the challenges of it. And of course, today I think we need people like this because we're in a very, very interesting time in our history where there's more division than perhaps ever before. But I think it's radical people like St. Francis and Gandhi and many others who have said there's got to be a different way and are brave enough to be able to blaze those paths to show that you don't have to follow convention. It's usually the radicals that change the world, not the conventional people.
And also, too, in the year 2020, we're really looking at it that religion has truly gone by the wayside. I live in New Orleans, and I can tell you over half of the churches have been closed, you know, of all different types of denominations. And what's happening is that when that starts to happen, do we then throw out or cast out our morals and our values, and we just don't see anyone or have any respect or any just any value for other people, things, and society? So I think truly what you're doing is about really showing more about what did maybe St. Francis have in his, as we would call his mojo bag, you know? What were those things that made him who he was? What were those things that were close yeah. to his heart? And really what you're doing is you're not professing a religion, follow me down the paths of the church. What you're saying is we'd like to take it backwards, and what truly is it about close to the moment of the heart, yes?
I think this is one of the reasons why Francis has been perhaps the most beloved of all the Catholic saints in history. Okay. He's embraced by people of nearly every religion and faith and people of no religion and faith. Right. In fact, I'll tell you one of the quotes that I heard that really inspired me when I was writing the book and when I was beginning to write the musical. It was a quote that I heard from, of all people, Vladimir Lenin, the architect of the Russian Revolution, when he said basically that the revolution they started failed, it created more atrocities than it solved, and what they really needed in Russia, he said, were 10 St. Francis of Assisi. He said, if we had had 10 St. Francis of Assisi, we wouldn't have needed a revolution. That's pretty remarkable coming from an atheist, someone who doesn't even believe in God. But he saw the power in the presence of someone fully committed to peace, as St. Francis was. And I think this transcends religion. This transcends dogma. It's something that is universal. That's why St. Francis is so beloved, because he was a universal saint. Yes, of course, he was Catholic and all that as well. But for the people who know, you brought up being spiritual but not religious. He really resonates with people like that,
right.
With nature and his love of animals and all of that. But, yeah, he was a unique character 800 years ago. And I think we, like Lenin said, we need people like that today.
Do you think in your book, truly, your character was about being able to find that peace of heart that perhaps she had felt, you know, had vacated or been given away, or maybe it just wasn't, it maybe just didn't feel as though if it was complete. Do you think that so many times people go on these trips and be able to find that? In other words, do we live a life of seeking all the time to find a heart that's complete?
Well, I don't know if there's any ending to this journey or not. I think we're always on a Camino. And in the
right.
book, Giovanni and the Camino of St. Francis, Anna had some very definite healing that she had to do. You know, she was raised in Italy. She's never been back in 40-something years, and she comes back, doesn't believe in God or St. Francis, and then meets this young Giovanni guy, and that's all he can talk about. But he helps her to see that you're never too old to heal, and you're never too old to have a great adventure. And they go on this great adventure together. And, you know, one of the most fun parts of writing that book was that I knew how it began and I knew how it ended, but I didn't know anything in between. So I had to discover it as I was writing it. I had to go on my own adventure in writing that book. Of course, I'd walked the Camino a couple of times at that point, knew some of the towns and some of the places that they would visit, but I didn't know what would happen. And every chapter was like a new adventure for me. And I think you can feel that. You can feel something that's maybe more raw or unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how all of our Caminos are, aren't they? They're raw and unplanned, and they're not always pretty. But if we can stay true to them, then the path is always going to lead us to where we need to be. For her, it was a CZ. For us, it's going to be wherever we find ourselves.
Right. And also, too, when you had shared about the event and giving out the tickets, and it was sort of like, you know how sometimes people will come to me and they will say, well, what am I going to get from this? And it's sort of like, I don't know. I don't have an answer. What does it do for me? I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I think the idea is that to be able to say, would you love to share an adventure with me? And let me know, you know, how you engage in it and what you find, that's the true path. In other words, we could say, what is St. Francis all about? And we could say he's about all of these words and, you know, like, let's read the all these different things about him and what he did in his life and everything. When truly, in essence, we could say, I don't really know. Perhaps let's go on the adventure and see how it engages. Don't you think that's where your book, truly, The Camino of St. Francis, that's what she didn't know what she was looking to find, but what she could look to find came in different shapes and sorts and pieces, yes?
That's right, yeah. And, you know, I sometimes say that my guru is Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes, who used to say, I know nothing.
Right.
And I think that's true for me. The more I know, the more I realize what I don't know, and the more humble I become. Francis was an example of humility because he realized that he didn't have the answer, but he could live his way into the answer. And he's as much of a model for us today as he was 800 years ago. Francis, you have to remember, lived at the very end of what we now call the Dark Ages. But we forget sometimes what happened right after that. That was the Renaissance. And Francis was a major part of the inspiration that led to the Renaissance. And I believe that here today, we stand at the end of perhaps another dark age.
Yeah.
There are a lot of shadowy stuff going on out there. But if what Vladimir Lenin said is true, maybe it would only take 10 or 20 or 30 people like Francis today that would lead us into a new Renaissance. That was kind of my idea doing this tour. It was my way of saying, I'll be number 10. Who are the other 9? Step forward. Let's do this. Because certainly the solution is not going to come politically or, you know, through our governments. That's for sure. But it will come from a small group of dedicated people. I really
right.
believe that.
And, you know, also, too, the answer doesn't have to be words. It doesn't have to be a position, or it doesn't have to be something you can put on a poster board and stand outside and politically, you know, march up and down. It could be just a sense or a feeling, or it could just be, you know, a sense of release. It could be someone just could feel like they just have tears and they can't stop. It could just feel something in their heart. They could just feel all of a sudden that everything is going to be okay. Do you think we've always tried to categorize a result as something that has to be held up on a pedestal?
That's a good question. I don't know. It keeps coming back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I think sometimes when they finish these, you know, like when you finish a Camino, it's sort of like, you know, people want, you sit down and you share it with someone, but the people are wanting to always hear, you know, something that
right.
in this category. In other words, I always say to, here's the thing, I always say to people, James, is like when I go into a room and I meet someone, and immediately they're like, oh, who are you and what do you do? And I'm like, and in my head goes this Rolodex and it says, what is the part of me they wish to engage in? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And because that's truly what it's about. So really, in essence, when you're going on these spiritual adventures, you know, and you're meeting someone and they want to know about it, again, what is this part of me that they want to know about? You know? It's almost as if no matter what words came out of your mouth, it was just you being in their presence sometimes can really help with that. Don't you think?
Yeah, and we don't really know how to verbalize these things sometimes.
Right.
Because
right.
they're pure experiences,
mm-hmm.
and pure experiences exist beyond the realm of duality and conception
correct.
And perception. And, you know, you may walk a Camino or do something like that, and people say, well, what did you get out of it? And you say, no words.
Correct.
It was so
yes.
big, I can't even find words for it.
Yes.
And they don't understand that unless they've had that experience themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times people would ask me or say something to me, and I would literally stand there. I call it mouth wide open, eyes to the sky. I have no answer.
Yeah.
Don't ask. You know, and I think
in England
that
they call that being gobsmacked.
Correct. They do. But almost in essence, it's sort of like that's when you know, are you, as you said, at the end of the dark ages? And that's when people who are gatekeepers, seekers, people who are in star seeds, as you and I are, we are on this other edge where we are kind of opening the gate and holding it open, and we're kind of sharing what it looks like from behind us. Do you know what I mean? And that's truly
mm-hmm.
where this new renaissance is coming through. I mean, 2020 is going to be off the charts, and it's going to be a lot of people seeking this. What are they seeking? They're seeking this next space. They know 9 to 5 doesn't do it. They know all this fixing and doing and all this other stuff isn't where it's at. And they will be seeking, what is that connection? Can you bottle it? Can you sell it? Can you fix me with it? And that's where you and I will be sharing as we do. It can't be bought. It can't be sought. What it can be is it could just be felt just by sitting in silence sometimes, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's the best way, and that's the experience. As we said, it's beyond words. It's beyond all concepts. You know, Rumi once said, beyond all concepts of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there.
Yes.
That's the place I want to meet.
That's where we're standing. As our conversation today, that's where we're standing. And I think, James, you know, in closing, I think your book is an absolutely wonderful starter for people to say, I don't know. And we could say, well, I don't know either, but here's something you could say. Walk through someone else's shoes for a little while and see if this stirs anything in you, yes?
Yes, exactly. You know, walk in the footsteps of someone like St. Francis and find how you're the same, how there's no difference really.
Yes.
And those walls begin to crumble, the boundaries begin to break apart, and we find that we're all the same. We all want the same thing. We all are longing for the same things, And that's ultimately peace, and that's ultimately love. And it's an experience that you have to share. You can't just talk about it. Talking about it is not really sharing it.
Right.
If we could just look into each other's eyes, that's going to take us a lot further than I think any words ever will. Francis once said, Our only job is to teach the gospel wherever we go and when necessary to use words.
Yeah.
I love that.
You know, it's interesting. In closing, James, I want to share this. I had this job. I was a dental hygienist for 25 years before becoming a doctor, and I saw probably many hundreds of thousands of patients, and every single one, it was never about the job. It was as soon as you sit in a dental chair, you engage in their eyes, and I think I saw over 500,000 or 600,000 people right in their eyes.
Wow.
For exactly, you know, that 1 minute you're putting the chair back. And I reflect back on that in retrospect all the time, and I said, my purpose was to engage. That was it. And don't you think that that's what we're missing sometimes? People don't even notice other souls because the eyes are the soul.
That's right. That's exactly that's what St. Francis knew and what he's trying to teach us today.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for joining us. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more about your work and about your events?
Sure. Well, they can go to Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, Twyman, T-W-Y-M-A-N.com. And right there at the top, you'll see a link that will take you to the page all about the musical. In fact, you can watch the first 20 minutes of the musical right there online. I recently performed it in Assisi in Italy, and we had that professionally shot. So you can see some of them right now and check out the schedule. And if we're going to be coming anywhere near you, I hope people will come and join us live.
That is absolutely wonderful. And the book is available everywhere, correct?
That's right. Yeah, you can get Giovanni and the Camino of St. Francis on Amazon. That same website, though, if you order it through there, you'll get some free gifts.
Very good. Well, James, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today because I think sometimes people are saying, I have to find the it, and what we're sharing is ways to be able to open yourself up, and then you will find what you're seeking. Yes?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
You're so welcome. Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about James Twyman, and again, his book is Giovanni and the Camino of St. Francis, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and then go directly to his website for more information and to be able to find all of the events listed there. Please do check it out. It's all about being able to say, what is open to me now? I know something is shape-shifting. I know there's so much more. How can I start to open myself up to it? Check out his events, reach out for a complimentary session on my website if you're interested, and definitely say that I am really just starting to get on that path, get some new sneakers. Hey, it's the beginning of 2020. Let's start on down that road. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.